Luke chapter 10, and we're reading from verse 38 to 42. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet, listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me." "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." Here is a very homely story. Mary and Martha, two sisters, and Mary sat at Jesus' feet listening to his word, and Jesus commends her for listening to him. Why is it so important to listen to Jesus? He was often called and addressed teacher. People could see that he was a great teacher. Jesus himself put a lot of emphasis on bringing God's word to the people. But why? He was able to heal. On one occasion, earlier on in Luke's gospel, we read how he was healing people, and they brought many people to him, and he healed all kinds of diseases and cast out evil spirits. And then early in the morning, Jesus went off to a solitary place, and they found him and wanted him to stay. But he said, "No, I must go and preach the good news to other towns also." Jesus put a great emphasis on teaching. We saw earlier in chapter 10, and then earlier again, how he sent out the 12 and then sent out 72 of his disciples to heal, but also to proclaim the kingdom of God. And now here, in the home of his friends, we see again just what a great emphasis Jesus puts on teaching, on hearing his word. "One thing was needed," says Jesus. Mary chose that one thing, to listen to his words. Why? Why was it so important? Well, it's because who Jesus is. We saw back in chapter 9, verse 20, when Jesus asked the people, or asked his disciples, "Who do people say that I am?" And Peter had then made his great confession, "You are God's Messiah. You are the one who has come from God. You are the anointed king sent from God." Jesus was the Son of God. We read the passage of what we call the Mount of Transfiguration, where Jesus' face and clothes shone bright as the sun. And he was on top of that mountain with Peter, James, and John, three of his disciples. And a voice spoke from heaven. This was God himself speaking, saying, "This is the Son whom I love." Jesus was God's Son. And then that voice added, "Listen to him." God himself puts great emphasis on how important it is to listen to him, because he is the Son of God. He is God's anointed one. On another occasion, when some of Jesus' hearers were drifting away from him, he said to his disciples, "Are you also going to leave?" And Peter said on that occasion, "Where else shall we go? You have the words of eternal life." Peter had recognized that Jesus was the one who was sent by God. He was God's Son, and he was bringing them words of eternal life, words that would enable them to have eternal life. Why do we need to listen to Jesus? Because otherwise, we will not know the truth, and we will not have eternal life. Just this past week, someone said to me, "How can we know there is life after death? Has anyone come back from the dead to tell us about it?" And it's lovely to be able to say yes to a question like that. Jesus did. Not only did he come from his Father in heaven, but he died and then rose again. Now, We'll have to wait till Easter before we can look in more depth at some of the historical evidence for the resurrection of Jesus. He really did rise from the dead. But here is Jesus Christ, the one who has come from the Father, who rose from the dead, who truly is qualified to tell us about life beyond the grave, beyond this world. Listening to Jesus' word is also necessary because of the falsehood and lies that we find in the world. We talk about the information wars. Are you familiar with that term? People claiming this, people claiming that. And we talk about information wars as if that's a new thing. Well, technology speeds it up, of course, but it's as old as mankind. Satan himself is described in the Bible as the father of lies. From the beginning, he has been deceiving people. He has been telling people, God can't be trusted. Or to others, he'll tell them, well, God doesn't even exist. To some, he'll say, well, money will save you. That is what will really keep you through your life. To another, he says, you can be in control. And Satan is the father of lies, deceiving people. We need to hear the truth. And it's the words of Jesus that give us truth. And yet, so much seems militated against us ever hearing his word. And so we come back to this story. This very domestic scene, a very simple story, a story of two sisters. And one is distracted from hearing the words of Jesus. The other sits at his feet and pays attention. Let's learn from it. And I want to make 2 points. So nothing complicated today, not even got 3 points, just 2 headings. Firstly, serving Jesus is good. Serving Jesus is good. Jesus had told the 12 and then later the 72 to accept hospitality as they went to different villages and towns, healing people and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom. Well, they were to stay in whatever home would welcome them. That was part of the culture at the time. We need to be aware of that. But also, anyone who was eager to hear the message of the kingdom would actually be pleased to welcome these disciples of Jesus. Remember, Jesus was very well known. Crowds and crowds, thousands upon thousands would go out to hear him preach. And as he sends out his disciples, there would be many a home eager to offer them hospitality. For centuries, the people of Israel had been waiting for their Messiah. Could Jesus be that very one whom God had sent? Well, what a blessing to have Jesus or even his disciples staying with you. So what Martha does in inviting Jesus and his disciples into her home was a good thing. Verse 38, as Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. That was a good thing for her to do. Jesus accepted that offer of hospitality. Turn back to chapter 8 and verse 3. We read here about how there were many different people, women who helped Jesus and his disciples, provided for them. It lists Mary, Joanna, the wife of Chusa, Susanna, and many others. These women were helping to support them out of their own means. As Jesus traveled around, he had no home of his own, but so many people cared, and Martha was one of those people. And Jesus appreciated hospitality. Remember when he was in the house of Simon, the Pharisee, and Simon had invited Jesus and his disciples for a meal, but hadn't really welcomed them properly. Jesus didn't say anything at first, but then later he says, Simon, I came into your house and you never washed my feet. And then refers to this woman who had come and was washing his feet with her tears. Jesus recognized the welcome or lack of it. Jesus told the parable of the sheep and goats and likened his people to the sheep and others to the goats. And what distinguishes them? Their behavior. And those who cared for others, who gave them food, clothing, visited them, Jesus said, "What you did for one of the least of these, my brothers, you did for me." That welcome, Jesus knows it. He sees it. And so Martha does well to give Jesus and his disciples this hospitality. And she does well to work hard. The Bible never commends laziness. We can't take this story and think, right, there's it. I can just sit around and do nothing and let everyone else do all the hard work. No. Jesus often commends hard work. The parable of the talents of gold. Do you remember the third servant? And he's castigated for being lazy. "You lazy servant." And so this story in no way encourages us to leave all the work to others. After all, Jesus has just told the parable of the Good Samaritan. And the priest and then the Levite, they don't stop and help the poor man who's half dead. They leave it to others. No. We're not to leave the work to others. God praises the work of those who serve. Think of Dorcas. She was commended for the way she helped the poor and the widows, made clothing for them. Read the list of people in the end of Romans chapter 16. Phoebe commended for helping many people. Mary in verse 16 there worked very hard for you, and many others did. Serving Jesus is good. So please don't look at this story and think, we don't need to serve. Now, I've made my point. I don't need to keep going. I'm sure you all agree. I hope you all agree. Let's be encouraged by this story to serve Jesus by serving others. Take the initiative. Join in with those who are serving in different ways. Jesus accepted Martha's hospitality. Let's also be those who serve. That's my first heading. Serving Jesus is good. Here's my second heading. Listening to Jesus is better. Listening to Jesus is better. Martha had a sister called Mary. This is not Mary, the mother of Jesus, of course. This is a different Mary. It was quite a common name in those days. And she sat at Jesus' feet, listening to his word. We presume the other disciples were also there listening to Jesus as he was speaking. That phrase, to sit at someone's feet, it's used of Paul. He says he sat at Gamaliel's feet while he was growing up. Acts 22, verse 3. It was a phrase to indicate that you were a disciple. You wanted to learn. And so too, Mary wants to grow in her knowledge of the truth. She loves the words of Jesus. She sits at his feet, drinking in that teaching. Now, Martha is evidently the older sister. She's the one who invites Jesus into her home. And she feels that sense of responsibility. She's the one preparing the meal. And I imagine, you can just picture the scene. There's Martha in the kitchen, and there's Mary and the disciples listening to Jesus, and Martha probably offering a few hints. I don't know how you would make a few hints. Maybe a bit of noise in the kitchen. You drop the odd utensil, so that everyone is reminded there is a kitchen in this place, and there's work that needs to be done. And Mary doesn't take the hint. Maybe Martha sort of comes in and sort of glares at her. Mary still doesn't take the hint. And eventually, Martha is sort of bursting with indignation. Why doesn't Mary come and help? There's at least 13 visitors who've come to their home. That's a lot of work. Why doesn't Mary come and help? And in the end, Martha can contain her frustration no longer. She bursts in and speaks her mind. Verse 40. She was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to Jesus and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her to help me." Well, she's obviously very frustrated. And in a way, we can understand, can't we? She's got all this work to do. I am reminded, however, of the disciples in the storm on the boat. Because they also said to Jesus, "Don't you care?" Here's Martha saying to Jesus, "Don't you care? Don't you care that my sister has left all the work to me?" And those disciples on the boat, and Jesus was fast asleep in the storm. And they woke him up and said, "Master, don't you care that we're about to drown?" It's so easy, isn't it? In our fears or frustration, in our disappointments or depression, to think that Jesus doesn't care. He does care. He cares deeply about us. He cares so much that he came from the glory and the comfort and the peace of heaven into this world of despair, of darkness, of strife. That's how much he cares about us. He died on the cross for us because he cares. And in her frustration, Martha says, "Lord, don't you care?" In their fear, the disciples said, "Lord, don't you care if we drown?" Jesus does care. But that doesn't mean that he's always going to do what we think is needed. Because, of course, he can see far better than we can see. He knows far better than we know. And actually, if those disciples in the boat had only listened to Jesus' word, they need not have had that fear. Yes, they're in a storm. Yes, it's frightening. But Jesus had said, "Let us go over to the other side." And as often been pointed out, if Jesus has said we're going to the other side, not even the most fierce of storms will stop it. You see how important it is to listen to the words of Jesus. The disciples had not really taken in what Jesus had said. And so they allowed their fears to fill them with doubt about the goodness of Jesus. Just as Martha allows her frustration to fill her with doubt about the goodness of Jesus. It's easy, isn't it, for us to do this? To allow our fears or our frustrations to give us doubts that God really does care. And I suspect we've all felt it at times. And this story is a very simple and lovely reminder that Jesus does care, but he knows what is most important. And in his love, in his care, he wants us to hear his word. If only Martha had also stopped to listen to what Jesus was saying. We don't know what he was teaching, but if she had stopped to listen, she'd soon have felt the wonder and the value and the comfort of Jesus' words. If only she'd stopped to listen, she would have felt that actually her schedule could be put on hold. Her schedule wasn't actually all that mattered. How much better it would have been if she'd maybe stood at the door of the kitchen and instead of bursting out in frustration, had just stopped and listened to what Jesus was saying. And can you imagine the words of Jesus? And around him are his disciples, and there's Mary sat at his feet, and Jesus is saying such wonderful things, maybe describing the glory of heaven, maybe talking about his Father God. And if Martha had just stopped to listen, the frustration would have melted away, would have been overcome by the love and the truth and the certainty and the comfort of the words of Jesus himself. And no one would have minded if the meal was half an hour or an hour later, they would have enjoyed it all the more. They'd be a bit more hungry. And it doesn't matter. Your schedule is not the big thing in life. Hearing his words, that's what matters. It's a simple point, isn't it? But so often, we're tied to our schedules. And we think everything must revolve around that. Hearing his word is the one thing that is needed. Martha, Martha, the Lord answered, you are worried and upset about many things, verse 41. But few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. What gentleness in Jesus' reply. Jesus doesn't get indignant. How dare you think I don't care? No, no, no. Martha, Martha, what gentleness. There is correction. She didn't need to get upset. You're worried and upset about many things. Don't need to, Mary. You don't need to, Martha. You don't need to be like that. One thing is needed. You didn't need to be so distracted by the preparations. Why? That the meal could wait. Here's something more important. One thing is needed. Mary has recognized that. She has taken this unique opportunity to hear the words of Jesus. After dinner at home, we have family devotions. And occasionally, just before reading the Bible, I'll say to the family, what we're about to do is the most important thing any of us could do today. It may not feel like the most important thing, but I would challenge anyone to tell me something more important than reading God's word together as a family. For a few minutes, we're not hearing the opinions of the world or even the opinions of each other. For a few minutes, we're hearing God's word. One thing is needed. One thing is necessary. It corrects our worldly views. It comforts our fearful hearts. It makes us wise for salvation. And yet how easily we get distracted. Not just in family devotions, but I hope you read your Bible each day. And yet we can so easily get distracted as we're reading or not even get down to reading our Bibles each day. Do you know when you're online, you might get distracted, but you don't get distracted from being online. You might follow this click and that click, and you click yourself all the way around the world before you know it, but you're still online. Can you imagine if you're like that with the Bible? You're reading this verse, and oh, wow, that just reminds me of that. And you start reading another passage and then another passage, and before you know it, you've gone right through the whole Bible. Wouldn't that be wonderful? We can do it quite easily when we're on our mobile devices or clicking our mice. How about with the Bible? One thing is needed. One thing is needed. Next time you're there, think, maybe let's click to the Bible itself. We find the time, don't we, to read the news, to watch the news. You've all heard about what's happening this week, haven't you? I hope you have. It's good to hear the news. It's good to listen to the news and think about it as Christians, how to pray. But you need the good news even more. You know, if we spent half the time listening to the good news of the gospel of Jesus, that we spend listening to the bad news that comes on our screens, we would be quite different people. Now, people have always been busy. Do not think that we live in an excessively busy age. I remember reading a book some few years ago about prayer. It had been written in the 19th century, and the writer was complaining just how busy people were in his day. Things have not changed. People have always been busy. Actually, in a way, it's less busy now. I mean, you don't scrub your own clothing. You stick it in a washing machine. It does all the work for you. You might have a dishwasher. It saves so much time. Yeah, we're always busy. But one thing is needed. Every generation has had its tight schedules. But what a tragedy to go all day and not to do the one thing that is truly needed. What a tragedy to go all your life and never do the one thing that is necessary. Why should you listen to Jesus? He is the Son of God. He has the words of eternal life. Just think about that for a minute. His words can give you eternal life. He shows you how you can live forever in the joy and the wonder and the glory of God's home in heaven. Now, that contrasts infinitely with anything else you can listen to, however good that other thing might be. Jesus has the words of eternal life. Wouldn't you want to listen to those? He tells us in the book of Revelation that he holds the keys of death and hell. It's the picture of a jailer who has the keys. The jailer is the one who puts the person in that cell. The jailer is the one who decides who goes in. Jesus has the keys of death and hell. Every single person who ends up in hell is there because Jesus decides. Every person who is in heaven is there because Jesus decides. Wouldn't you want to listen to Jesus? He has those keys. Your eternal destiny will be assigned to you by him. We will all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. He is the judge. He is the jailer. He is also the saviour. Is he going to be your jailer? Or is he going to be your saviour? Is he going to lock you in hell? Or is he going to welcome you into heaven? How are you going to know? Unless you listen to him. Surely, you want to listen to his words. There's another point, I think, from these verses. It's this. You know, Jesus is more concerned for you to listen to him than for you to serve him. Think about that for a minute. He doesn't save us for what he can get out of us. He doesn't actually need us, but he does love us. He wants us to relate to him. He wants us to hear him. He wants us to be in that loving relationship with him. He doesn't save people so he can get his pound of flesh out of them. He's not evil. He is loving. He's more concerned that you listen to him than that you serve him. Oh, we do want to serve him. When you come to know him, you love him more and more. But serving him is not the priority. Hearing him, knowing him, loving him, that's the priority. You see, if your Christian faith is all based on what you can do for the Lord, you're going to find old age very difficult when you can no longer serve like you do at the moment. But you know, when you can no longer do so much, he's loving it. Because you'll be able to listen to him even more. You'll be able to pray even more. He doesn't need our service. He wants our love. I was chatting with a mother many, many years ago of someone I knew who had recently got married. And he'd married a doctor. I knew her as well. In fact, I worked with her for a time. And I asked his mother how they were getting on. They're doing fine, everything's well, but busy. And especially his wife, very busy. This was before there was any time directive, and you know, young doctors would have to work, you know, 80 hours a week, sometimes more. And I'll never forget, at one point his mother said, you know, speaking of her son, he really wants a wife, not a doctor. He hardly saw her. She was having to work so hard. Jesus wants you, not your service. Yes, it's good to serve him. Yes, he appreciates it, but one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen what is better. It will not be taken away from her. She will be able to sit and listen to Jesus for eternity. Now, we know later in the story in John 11 that Martha also does believe. It's not that, but she has to be corrected here. And maybe we need to be corrected. Maybe we've become too busy. Maybe we've become too distracted, even in good things like serving the Lord, and we've forgotten to sit at his feet and listen to him. He wants a wife, not a doctor. What does Jesus want of you? It's not first and foremost your service. It's your love. It's your listening ear. He wants you to hear his word so that you might come to him and receive from him. He wants to give. He's not in it for what he can get. He wants to give you eternal life. He said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. He alone has the words of eternal life. Can I encourage you? Make it a habit each day to sit at his feet, as it were, listening to his word. Is that a good thing? I can't imagine any of you disagreeing with me. Well, let's do it. Let's relate to our Lord. Let's not just go through the motions as we read our Bibles. Let's not just, you know, sit in church and let it waft over us. Let's engage our hearts, listen to him, and love him. Our last hymn says, I am coming, Lord. We want to respond to him. We want to come to him, to connect with him.